صلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، الحمد لله، we're still in the glorious Masjid of Aqsa. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's given sinners such as ourselves the opportunity in which to graciously forgive our sins. And in the morning, I spent the session mentioning some of the amazing facts and figures with regards to this glorious masjid. And I mentioned that in this beautiful city, Abdullah ibn Abbas had mentioned radiyallahu anhu that the prophets had lived here, alayhi salatu wasalam. And there's not an inch where a prophet has not prayed in Quds, alayhi salatu wasalam, nor an angel stood. Also showing the sanctity of this beautiful masjid, in Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn Jarir, Ruh al Ma'ani and Marif al Quran, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, O Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu, the Bani Israel in just one morning murdered 43 prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. Some 170 worshippers rose to prevent them, and thus by the same evening, all of them were also martyred. So let's look at this. So here in this narration, directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the books of tafsir, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned some very dark moments in human history. And he mentioned that the Bani Israel in one morning murdered 43 prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. Think about that. To murder one prophet is unbelievable. They murdered 43 prophets, meaning it was an ambush. 170 worshippers tried to protect them. They were also martyred. So why have I mentioned this tragic report showing the sanctity of this holy masjid? Because, as is well known, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, is buried where he passes away. A prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, is buried where he passes away. So if these 43 prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, were ambushed, it doesn't take a great brain surgeon to work out that this was obviously during the time when they were worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So where did the Bani Israel prophets worship their Lord? Masjid al-Aqsa. So it is in this holy, august place that 43 were martyred in one morning, but necessitating that they be buried where they lay. So what does that tell you about Masjid al-Aqsa? Just like the holy Kaaba, there are prophets buried within, alayhi salatu wasalam. Think about that. So not only have the prophets prayed in every inch of Quds, i.e. Jerusalem, within the sanctity or the sanctuary of this Haram, there are prophets buried, alayhi salatu wasalam. Our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, a prophet is buried where he loves to be buried. So in actual fact, their martyrdom was something that was a desire in their hearts. They wanted to leave the world martyred, but in a place beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was in this masjid. Now think about that. And that also shows that when we have aspirations, we shouldn't think it difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For instance, if a person says, how can I even ask my Lord that He gives me martyrdom in Masjid al-Aqsa? 43 prophets were granted this in one morning, alayhi salatu wasalam. The other thing which Masjid al-Aqsa has, which is something which even the two sacred harams do not have, is that whenever we pray in Makkah or Al-Madinah, we are not 100% certain that we are praying where a prophet has prayed. So you go and pray around the holy Kaaba, there's a high likelihood that you have prayed where a prophet has prayed. But there's no certainty. There is no certainty. Same in Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in Masjid al-Aqsa, there is absolutely no doubt that wherever you pray, you are praying where the holy and unblemished feet of the Prophet have fed. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are prostrating where the unblemished sacred foreheads of the Prophets have prostrated. Alayhi salatu wa salam. Now why is that amazing? Because we are told in various narrations that we should move around to secure blessings to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the earth will testify to where you worship. Then what about the place of earth testifying in your favor, which will also testify for the prophets? Think about that. Where the prophets have worshipped, the earth will say, Ya Allah, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam prayed here. And Malik, what are you doing there with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam? And how can it not be that that will not therefore be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That he answers the worship or accepts the worship of his beloved servant, and he will reject another servant who's prayed on the same spot. So this shows the sanctity of the masjid, Masjid al-Aqsa, that we're now sitting. The very place that we're now sitting. A prophet has sat. A prophet has prostrated. A prophet has done ruku. A prophet has stood in qiyam. A prophet has wept. A prophet was in communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the sanctity is truly mind-boggling of this holy masjid. And also with regards to the martyrdoms of the prophets, you can refer to Surah Ali Imran, Surah 3, verse 21. So now let's look at the history of the masjid. In a hadith, in Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Ibn Khuzaymah, Sahih, Ibn Hibban, Sahih, Targhib number 914. Our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam finished building Bayt al-Maqdis, he made three du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Oh Allah, Oh my Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me judgment in line with your judgment. Give me a kingdom just like your kingdom. And whoever prays in this masjid, Masjid al-Aqsa, then purify him of sin the day his mother gave birth to him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, two of the du'as were answered, and inshallah, the third will also be answered. So let's look at this beautiful hadith. A sahih hadith in Nasa'i. So now, the first dua he made, it mentions he built Bayt al-Maqdis. Why? Because many times it has been renovated, it has been destroyed, it was raised again by a prophet. Sulaiman was one of them, alayhi salatu wasalam. When he built the masjid, how long ago? Roughly 3,000 years ago. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam came roughly 1,000 years before Jesus Christ. So 3,000 years ago, give or take, he rebuilt this masjid. First dua, give me judgment in line with your judgment. That dua was answered. Let me give you an example. In Sahih Bukhari, these two women came to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And both the women were saying that this child is their child. So obviously one of them is lying. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam listened to both of them. And he said to one of the guards, give me your sword. So one of the women asked, why are you asking for a sword? Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said, I will cut the child in half and you can have half each. When he said that, only one woman said, no. He goes, let this woman take my child. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam immediately said, you are the mother. Because the other one did not say anything. So look at his remarkable way of dealing with cases. This actually happened when Dawood, his father, was still alive. Because of the dua. Give me judgment like your judgment. And also in the Bible it mentions the amazing parables of Sulaiman, the wisdom of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Second dua, give me a kingdom like your kingdom. That was answered. Imagine, you think that's the dua. How can that be answered? Allah the Almighty and Glorious has got power over everything. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. He has power over everything. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam had power over everything. The wind was at his beck and call. He could speak to animals. He understood plants. Plants would talk to him. The jinn and the shayateen were under his control. He had absolute kingdom because he made a dua for that. But what was the third dua? Whoever comes to this masjid and prays, make him sinless the day his mother gave birth to him. Now this dua, think about this, it should bring tears to our eyes. Because we don't rely upon our deeds. Our deeds are polluted. This dua is what we rely upon. You will say, Ya Allah, don't look at my deeds. But your beloved Prophet, the one that you love so very much, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he made a dua. And he asked you to forgive anyone who prays in this masjid. For his sake, forgive me. Do you honestly believe Allah Ta'ala is not going to accept that? So what do we owe to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam? How can we repay him back? Alayhi salatu wasalam. That's why when you first offer any prayer in Masjid Al-Aqsa, the Salaf would congratulate each other. Imagine, you enter two rakats Tahiyat Al-Masjid, or you pray the Farad, or you pray whatever. Immediately they'd be hooking each other. And people would look, why are they hooking and congratulating? You're sinless. Congratulations. Not with arrogance. They goes, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he made a dua for us. So note, this is something we get immediately because of the dua of that holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, how much reward do you get? People always ask these questions. So we've offered salat here, alhamdulillah. Our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the hadith is in Bayhaqi, Tarheeb number 915, it's authentic. Salat in my masjid, Masjid al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, is superior by four salat in Masjid al-Aqsa. So let's stop the report. What's the first thing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said? Salat in my masjid is superior, afdal, better than four salat in Masjid al-Aqsa. The second thing he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wala ni'mal musalla. What an excellent, amazing place of salat it is. Masjid al-Aqsa. Imagine. Who knows everything about everything? Our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala gave him complete knowledge of the Shariat. How did this perfect man describe salat in this masjid? Think about it. Wala ni'mal musalla. What an amazing place to offer salat. Then number three, he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is the land of gathering. It is the land of resurrection. What does that mean? It means when you die, your soul is taken and is brought here to the dome of the rock, and the gates of the heaven opens and your soul travels into the heavens. That's one meaning. Second meaning, when you die on the day of judgment, we will all travel to Masjid Al-Aqsa, Jerusalem. This is the place of gathering. Why? Allah Ta'ala loves it so much. And it's the place of resurrection. Some people, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, will come from their graves honorably to Jerusalem. Some will travel by carriage, some will walk. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, some will come walking on their heads as a disgrace. And one of the narrators said, how can a man or woman walk on their head? And the narrator responded, sub-narrator, the one who made him walk on his feet will make him walk on his head. Why here? Because the Prophet said it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, alas, how unfortunate. A time will come to the people when a mere space of a whip or a bow from where Bayt al-Maqdis is visible would be better for him and dearer to him than the whole world and all that it contains. Prophecy. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He goes, a tragic time will come when imagine that much land, your arms worth, that much land, where you can see Masjid al-Aqsa, that will be more beloved to you than the whole world and all that it contains. Why? Because the Muslims will lose authority. Are we not witnessing this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why? Because the Muslim never depreciates what is holy in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now we've reached that stage where we would love to have even a small plot where we could see Masjid al-Aqsa. So look at this whole report. What is the Prophet talking about? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Aqsa, Masjid al-Aqsa. Jerusalem, 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 Bayt al-Maqdis. But now the opening part, four times greater than Masjid al-Aqsa. Now we can work out things. One salat in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's masjid is greater than 25,000 to 27,000 salats offered individually. Think about that. You offer one farad prayer in Masjid al-Nabi in Medina sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You offer 25,000 farads individually or 27,000. You still haven't caught up. Or it is greater than offering five farad prayers individually for 14, 15 years. So imagine, somebody's prayed every one of his farad prayers for 14 to 15 years without fail. 14, 15 years, every farad prayer at home. One prayer in Masjid al-Nabi is greater than that. That's the first thing. Then, the second thing. One prayer in Masjid al-Aqsa, you can work it out, is therefore greater than approximately 6,500 offered individually. Somebody offers 6,500 farads. We've just offered salat now. We're still better than him. Or one prayer in Masjid al-Aqsa is greater than five daily farad prayers individually for 3.5 years. That one salat we've just offered, 3.5 years. If you offer the prayer individually, you still haven't caught up. There's the value of the salat in Masjid al-Aqsa. So note the virtue, the rewards, the blessings are innumerous. How valuable is this land? You got a beautiful hadith. The hadith is in Abdul Razak Ibn Sa'ad in Istabaqat 4-13, Ibn Abi Shayba Ganzul Omal 4-260, Hayat al-Sahab volume 2 page 513-4 of the New English Translation. Umar radiyallahu, he wanted to extend Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because the worship was increased. One of the dwellings that was in the path to the extension was the uncle of the Prophet's dwelling, Abbas radiyallahu. So Umar approached him. He goes, "Oh, beloved uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will you give your house? I will buy your house only so I can extend Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So Abbas goes, "You must be joking." So Umar radiallahu anhu then thought to himself, "Okay, he's offended because I asked to give him money. Maybe he wants to give it." So he goes, "Then give it, because you must be joking." So Umar radiallahu anhu then says, "Thought, I'm the Amir al-Mu'mineen, I can order him." But then he thought, "No, I'm not going to order it. I will take him to another Sahaba who will judge between us who's right." So he goes to Abbas, "Let us go to Ubay ibn Ka'b. Will you be happy with this judgment?" He goes, "Yes." So there's three people in the hadith: Umar, Abbas, Ubay ibn Ka'b. Umar and Abbas are going to Ubay ibn Ka'b. When they go to Ubay ibn Ka'b, they put forward their case. Ubay ibn Ka'b radiyallahu anhu said to Amir al-Mu'mineen, "You cannot take his dwelling." So Umar radiyallahu anhu goes, "Why? Where's the proof?" So Ubay ibn Ka'b radiyallahu anhu said that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam, Allah the Almighty and Glorious told him, build Bayt al-Maqdis. The problem that he had was that the land belonged to one man. Doesn't matter who he is. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam approached that man. He goes, "I would like to buy this land only to build the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So the man goes, "Fine." And then Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam gave him a very reasonable amount for the land. The man then asked, "O Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam, is this price you are paying better or what you are taking better? Before I sign the deal, answer me that question. The money that you've given me, is it more than the land?" So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam then said, "No, He goes, what I'm taking is far greater. He goes, I don't accept that. So Sulaiman looks at him, alayhi salatu wasalam. He increases the price. Doubles it. The man then says, is what you are giving me better than what I am taking? He goes, no. He goes, I'm not signing nothing. So Sulaiman raises the price. 3 or 4 times he's raised it. Eventually the wisdom of Sulaiman, remember I told you, he says to him, listen, I will give you a price. But if I give you this price, you cannot ask me that question. You cannot say, because you agree. So he goes, how much are you offering me? So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam says to him, I will give you 12,000 kintar, 48 million gold coins. The man wanted to ask, he couldn't. He goes, all right. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam then is given the 48 million gold coins to that man. But as he's giving it in his holy heart, he's thinking, he's done me over. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he revealed to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, does this land belong to you? He goes, no. He goes, is the money that you're giving, does that belong to you? He goes, no. He goes, give it. And Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he took it. He said, take the money. Look at how valuable this land is. 48 million gold coins. Then Obey said to Umar, you cannot pay from Abbas. In other words, even a prophet of God couldn't do it. Who are you? So then what happened? Umar stepped back. But then Abbas goes, take it. And the ulama said that Abbas probably knew the hadith. And he was saying, that because I'm not like that man. He goes, I could have taken you to the cleaners. Imagine, Bayt al-Mal. What's coming, Bayt al-Mal? The Persian spoils. All of it, please. And then the future Rome, yeah, I'll take all that as well. In fact, next 15 years, any spoils, give it to me, including a couple of million. He could have asked anything. Umar could not. But he goes, no, I give it. How generous was Abbas? So look at this land. But you say, how valuable is it? You can't even understand how valuable this land is. Let's look at the history. Jerusalem, when was this holy city opened? It was opened in 15 AH by Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu. Now think about this. If you know your dates, how quick was that? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away to his heavenly abode in 11 AH. 4 years after that, Jerusalem fell. Imagine, how did that happen? Only Allah Ta'ala knows. But Jerusalem at the time was run by Christians. And they were surrounded by the Sahaba. So the Sahaba got together. There was Amr ibn al-As, Khalid ibn Walid, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, Yazid ibn Abi Sufyan, radiyallahu ta'ala. And he goes, look, what can we do? 4 months we've been besieging this city. So then they thought, before they could decide, a message came. Because we are willing to hand the keys of this city to the Amir al-Mu'mineen. If he comes, we will open the city peacefully. So the four commanders looked at each other. And then Khalid ibn Walid radiyallahu ta'ala said, I got a suggestion. He goes, what's that? He goes, I think that I should dress up, put some patchwork on, because he was the cousin of Umar, his first cousin. He looked like him. He goes, I'll just, you know, put patchwork on, and then who knows? Maybe they'll think I'm Amir al-Mu'mineen. They'll open the city. So they went, all right. So imagine, takes, puts on the patchwork, you know, lowers his head probably, right? And he's walking up to the city. And then the chief patriarch is looking, and he bursts out laughing. He goes, that's Khalid ibn Walid, right? So Khalid looks at him, and he goes, as if we're that foolish. So Khalid goes back, kicks Sadaq, because it didn't work. So then they did another mashara. He goes, what should we do now? Because we're going to have to send a message back to Umar radiyallahu anhu. Let's see whether he wants to come. The message was sent. So Amir al-Mu'mineen is in al-Madinah, and he says, what do you suggest? So Uthman radiallahu anhu goes, don't go. It's going to fall anyway. Disgrace them. Ali radiallahu anhu says, Amir al-Mu'mineen, it's been 4 months. By you going, the bloodshed will stop. And it will be an honor for the city. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu then says, you're right. I will head to the holy city of Jerusalem. Abbas enlists. Exam going. And Abbas would actually go in front of Umar. Imagine the uncle of the Prophet, Abdul Rahman ibn Qudam, going. So 10 promised paradise are going. Uncle of the Prophet's going to Jerusalem. This contingent is coming. Eventually they get, long narrative, you don't need to go into it. They get to the holy city. The patriarch looks. And when he looks down, Umar radiallahu anhu was walking. And his servants on the camp. So he goes, what's going on? So one of the servants makes investigations, comes back. He goes, oh, the Khalifa is walking. And his servant is riding. So the patriarch said in Tabari, in his tarikh, he says, Farooq has come. Farooq has come. Open the city. Because Christ told us he will be walking. And his servant will be riding. So when Umar enters, he's on this horse. And he's obviously everything smashed up. Patched clothes, smashed up workhorse. People are looking, thinking, is this the ruler of the Muslim armies? So Umar radiallahu looks at them and he says something very interesting. He goes, these people, they look for honor. And he pointed to the ground. He goes, they look for honor down here. But we look for honor up there. So have you understood? Meaning outwardly, smashed up workhorse, patched clothes, they're thinking, how did he defeat us? He goes, they think it's all about nice clothes and horses. He goes, Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives his honor. And then he spent 10 days in Jerusalem. Imagine, 50 prayers he offered in Masjid al-Aqsa. And look how beautiful. When he entered Jerusalem, he goes straight to the Dome of the Rock. And what's there? Rubbish. They made it into a scrapyard. There was the filth of the women who left their rags there. There was dirt, excrement. People had urinated. The place was infested. So Umar radiallahu anhu's eyes filled with tears. And he says, the place where our beloved messenger went into the heavens can never be like this. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he rolled his blessed sleeves. And he didn't even tell anybody else. He started cleaning the mess. Imagine, we can't even clean somebody leaves a dirty nappy. Imagine the stench. And why did he not tell anybody else? Because the scholars say, by Allah, he would have done it himself. But then all the sahaba jumped in. And they started rolling. And the Christians are looking, thinking, what are they doing? And the Jews also, their eyes filled with tears. And it took a while. And Masjid al-Aqsa, the haram, that area was cleaned. Then it was time for Salat. So Umar radiallahu anhu had to get cleaned. You know, one report goes, he did a ghusl because of the smell. And then he changed into some other clothing. And he goes, it's time for Salat, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Where shall we pray? So one person was with him called Qa'ab al-Ahbar. And he goes, Amir al-Mu'mineen, pray here. The Dome of the Rock, where he is now. So Umar looked at him, he goes, you still got some Jewishness in you. Why? Because that's the holiest place of the Jews. He goes, we will pray in the front. This is because we are ahead of the people. And where we're sitting now, he started building the masjid. This is the place where Umar prayed, radiallahu anhu. Because we will pray where Rasulullah prayed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning this is the core, the heart of Masjid al-Aqsa. And he prayed the first prayer here. It was azan, time for azan. He then looks, he goes, is Bilal amongst us? And Bilal was hiding. And he goes, Bilal, he goes, can't you see the Mujahideen? They're exhausted, they're tired. Can't you come out basically out of retirement? Just do the azan just once more time for us. So Bilal looks and he's about to say no. But then everybody's looking, you know, like children when they want their father to give them some sweets. He's looking and he couldn't say no. He says, I'll do it once more, Amir al-Mu'mineen. And people went, Allahu Akbar. And then imagine, the same companion whose beautiful voice echoed in Medina when the Prophet was with us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, echoed for the first time in Jerusalem. And then all the sahabas burst into tears, remembering Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then even the sahaba thought, Rasulullah's come back, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But obviously, it was at the time of Sayyidina Umar. And then the prayer was offered. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever does the azan in the 3 sacred harams, they will enter paradise. Bilal did all 3. Makkah, in the conquest, Medina, and This is another honor for Sayyidil, the Sayyid of the Muazzin, Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu. So beautiful things were taking place in the city. 10 days he was here. And the people were looking at Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he fell in love with Jerusalem. So people then, one man approached him. He said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, I can see you have great love for this city. Why don't you come here? Make this the capital. And Umar looked at him and he was shocked. He goes, never. I'm never going to leave the neighborhood of my beloved. So Allah, so think about that. If you look at Jerusalem, how look at the climate, look at the beauty, look at the food, everything about it. And you look at Medina, you know, it's hot. You know, if it wasn't for Rasulullah, you know, it would be a place of pestilence. But his love was so much, he goes, I don't give a monkeys. He goes, I'm going back. And then after 10 days, he bid farewell to the city. So this is how Jerusalem was opened. And Alhamdulillah, we've been given this honor as well. Coming to Masjid al-Aqsa. Now, what happened to finish? Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi, he said something very interesting. In Majmu al-Rasail al-Qubra 2-57, praying in this part of the masjid is better than praying anywhere else in the masjid. Look at what he's told you, something very, very important. All of Aqsa, you'll get the reward where the Prophet prayed, alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibn Taymiyyah said, however, if you pray in this part of the masjid, this is the greatest reward. Now that's very important. Why? Because some people, what they'll do, they go, brother, it's all right, I prayed on the marble outside. I think, mashallah, you can't argue, brother, it's all Aqsa. Why don't we pray down, you know, in that secret chamber? Mashallah, brother, it's, you know, it's all Aqsa. And somebody goes, I prayed where Amir al-Mu'mineen built the masjid. He goes, brother, shake my hand. But he goes, why? Because that's the greatest place, the most rewarding place to offer the salat. And alhamdulillah, we're sitting probably in the front saf of that blessed place. Now just to finish. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam is a very beautiful hadith. And I want to share this. The hadith is in Tabarani in his Kabir, number 11-452. Hakim in his Mustadrak, number 7428. Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn Jarir, 22-74, Al-Bidai. Our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he said, whenever Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam prayed, he would see a tree between his eyes. Look how strange. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam offering salat, and he'd see a tree. Allah Ta'ala would show him a tree. And the tree would give its name. Now imagine, he's offering salat. The tree would say, Ya Nabiullah, my name is so-and-so, and my purpose is this. And it would even tell him whether it's a medicine. He goes, use me for this illness. Allahu Akbar. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, when he finished the prayer, every salat, imagine, he'd quickly say, write. So one of the scribes said, O Prophet of Allah, what do you want me to write? He goes, write this name. And he write the name of the tree. And he goes, now write what it does. Eventually, the hadith says, he was given the knowledge of all illnesses. People are dying today from illnesses. Cancer. You know, the so-called incurable diseases. Motor, you know, they get all these syndromes. They give it, oh, this is a degenerative. There's no cure. Bakwas. Allah Ta'ala gave that knowledge to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. He preserved it for you. You lost it. Imagine, innit? So when you see people dying, don't blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, every, and that's why he would smile in salat. He'd be offering salat, Sulaiman, and he'd smile. He goes, why? Every time Allah Ta'ala was giving him a gift. Where? Masjid al-Aqsa. Imagine. Here's another gift for you. Oh my beloved. Here's another gift for you. So what happened? The hadith continues. One day he was praying, thinking, alhamdulillah, another gift is coming. And he found a tree in front of him. But look what happened. The tree said, I am Al-Kharrub. Kharrub or Kharrub means the destroyer. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked, Al-Kharrub, the destroyer, what's your purpose? So Al-Kharrub, the tree said, I have been sent to destroy this house. Now this has two meanings to stop the report. One is Bayt al-Maqdis is going to be destroyed. Second meaning, your kingdom is going to be finished. Meaning this kingdom that Allah Ta'ala has given you, this amazing kingdom which I'll talk about some other time, this kingdom is going to be destroyed, never to rise again. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he then said, he made a dua. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make the jinn blind concerning my death, so that people know that they have no knowledge of the unseen. Immediately he's making ready for death. So let's explain this. He had control over the jinn. Today we went to the part where Maryam radiallahu anha's chamber is. If you look at those bricks, well, I don't know if you could call it a brick, right? If you call it, if you look at those blocks, even in today's day and age, how did you get a block that big in that position? The jinn. You can still see it. At the time he gets this news that his death is imminent, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam knew that there's ignorant people. And what do ignorant people even today say about jinn? Bole bale Musliman. What do they say? Oh, they know everything. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu was his last act before he left the world stage. I'm going to expose them. So he goes, Ya Allah, please keep my death hidden from them. So what happened? The hadith says, the tree grew. Imagine that tree that he saw grew. And every time Sulaiman saw it, he'd smile and he'd also grieve. And people didn't understand that because that was his death. He then, the hadith says, he carved a staff out of that tree. Imagine, he cut it, made a beautiful staff out of it. And then he looked at it, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he stood. Now today we went to the place where there's a prophet buried, just next to where the sahaba are buried. That could be the place where he stood. He had the staff in his hand and he gave orders to the jinn with the hand. He goes, keep working. So they were looking at Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam and they were lifting these ridiculous blocks of, imagine, right? Building Masjid al-Aqsa and renovating it. As this was happening, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, the hadith says, he was standing there for 1 year. He wasn't even blinking an eyelid. But Allah the Almighty had taken his soul. So what happened? He's standing and he's giving the order with the hand like this to the jinn. They're looking, thinking, keep working, keep working. The Prophet is giving his orders. They don't realize he's passed away. His eyes are still open. He's still pointing and he's got the staff. For 1 year, imagine, they're working. Then the hadith says, the staff was slowly eaten by a woodworm. And then the staff eventually broke. And then when Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam fell, the angel stopped him from getting any injury. And the jinn looked, this was happened. Because he's passed away. So the humans looked and they goes, Subhanallah, because jinn don't know anything. So look at the wisdom of Sulaiman. He made that dua, give me wisdom, give me judgment like yours. That was his last act. And where does the Prophet get buried? Where he passes away. And look how interesting. There's a Prophet's grave there. And the grave is huge. One of the brothers has seen it, I haven't seen it. Why? Because he was the King Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. And for further details, you can refer to Surah Sabah, Surah 34, verse 14. So think about this. All of what I've talked about here is Masjid al-Aqsa. What an amazing place. Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, our beloved messenger, the atom bomb, has arrived, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Bilal, Sayyidina Abbas, Sayyidina... What is going on? Sulaiman, alayhi salatu wasalam, control of the wind, the jinn. Trees, knowledge of, you know, the knowledge of illnesses, which has sadly been lost. All of this in this beautiful sacred sanctuary that we have been graced to sit and to imbibe some of its blessings. So we pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He increases our love for this beautiful haram and also to increase our understanding of its greatness in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But like I mentioned, it's best summed up by the verse of the Quran, where Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, Alladhi barakna hawlahu, whose surroundings we have blessed. Allahu Akbar. Whose surroundings we have blessed. And the greatest blessing of all for this holy sanctuary was the arrival of the magnificent, exalted, unparalleled messenger of Allah, the most beloved. That was the final, Allah Ta'ala's great gift given to this beautiful land. Our beloved messenger himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think about that. He prayed here. That's why, you know, think. Why didn't Allah Ta'ala take him from Makkah to the heavens? What's this journey to Jerusalem? And how was he brought to Jerusalem? Look at what Allah Ta'ala sent. He sent the archangel. But that wasn't enough. He sent a carriage. Why? Because if you truly love somebody, you invite him, you send transport. You send the limousine. Allah Ta'ala sent the barak. Jibreel's outside. Imagine. And when the Prophet gets to the barak, it's shaking. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said in Tirmidhi and Mishkat, why are you shaking? Nobody more honorable than he is sat upon you. And he's brought with full honor and love to Masjid al-Aqsa. And we'll discuss this inshallah when we're talking about the Isra and the Mihraj, which is a session by itself. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa billahi min shaitanir rajim, subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa tawasaw bil haqq, wa tawasaw bis sabr, tarakallahu. Thank you.